through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
All right, this is my question for you guys on this Football Friday, powered by the Snoqualmie Casino Sportsbook. Who needs a great finish to this season in the worst way? Lots of possible answers here. So let's jump to phone lines right now. Sean in Centralia. Sean, what's your answer?
Well, you know, I could give you all of the answers you've already given me, but my twin guys are Brown and Shell.
Okay. I like that, Sean. Tell me why.
Well, for two reasons. You got to tell the Seahawks, if you can settle on one of them coming back, I don't think they both come back. And for them personally, Brown made it clear that he really wanted to extend his career. Well, his season this year does not look good for extending his career currently. And Shell, he's got to set himself up to prove to a team, if it's not the Hawks, that he honestly can be depended on and being a good right tackle.
Yeah, Sean, that's a great point. I mean, you talk about those two guys making a case for themselves, and when you're the Seahawks, you have three openings potentially. If you don't bring either one of those back, I don't anticipate the Seahawks bringing back Ethan Posick or Kyle Fuller as their starting center next year either. So that's three open spots that you'd be looking at for your offensive line next year. And the one thing that, Sean, that you point to, if I'm looking at one of those two, Brandon Shell or Dwayne Brown, I think there's a better chance that they would be more willing to bring back Dwayne Brown if he was able to finish the season strongly in these last six games. I think Brandon Shell is someone that they'll probably move on from, but Dwayne Brown definitely, I mean, both of them have an opportunity to make a case for themselves, but Dwayne Brown especially here in these next six games.
All right, thanks for the call, Sean. Going to Bill in Linwood. Bill, who needs a great finish to this season in the worst way?
Hi, Jake and Stacey. Great to hear you. You guys are both informative and entertaining. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
Well, thanks, Bill. Well, we want to be informed by you, man. So what do you got for us?
Okay, it's definitely, the answer is Shane Waldron. And here's why. The Seahawks need to win four or five more games this season in order to have any kind of momentum offseason and for next year. It's really just vital. And he needs to coach up both the running backs and the O-line. And the reason is, you guys, because in any game coming up now, the opposing defense, the opposing team can sense when we cannot run the ball. They can sense that. So they adjust and they go to this pass rush and defend our receivers, and then we're back in that same mode. And so we've got to get that running game going.
Okay. All right. Bill, I like that answer.
I mean, agree with Bill a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
and I also think that I want to see this. I was, as Bill was talking, I was thinking, okay, same question. Like, how do you measure it? How would I measure it? And you know what I want to see? And this isn't like quantitative measure of it, but like, I want to see a play in a game where the broadcasters say, wow, that's a great play. Just one is all I want. Just one.
Really? Just one?
Minimum. The bar is as low as it could possibly be. Just one play where they go, oh, that's a great play call, man.
You know what was hilarious to me? in the Washington game, they were talking about it literally just before the play happened. They were like, you know, Russell Wilson, he's just getting those deep completions. They gotta do something different, and da da da. And they go on this huge long thing. It's third and one, and all of a sudden, Russell Wilson, it's a huge play to Tyler. They're like, that's a great call. That's a good job in that moment. It was like, you guys are just ragging on him for doing the exact thing that they just did. But I agree with you, and part of that comes though, Stacey, and really, it's to me, it's not the announcer saying that was a great play. Man, that was a great drive. Man, this is a great series. Man, this is, you know, I heard often in the 2 weeks ago, Minnesota versus the Green Bay game, Green Bay Packers. And Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were talking about how these two offenses were really clicking, that they have found their identity and that they're in the rhythm of the game and it's really opening everything else, both in the run and the pass, and how that's syncing and working together. Well, we have not been able to say that about the Seattle Seahawks in quite some time. And so Bill points to Shane Waldron, and I agree with you that Shane definitely has a lot to be coaching for in the next six games. And the best way to help ail a lot of these issues is, yes, if you can have any semblance of a running game, it would help out a lot. And hopefully they can get that done. But I don't think that they're going to sell out, or should they sell out at all costs to make that happen. But it would be nice if they could get it going.
Going to Corey and Puyallup, I'm from here, by the way, and I always get nervous saying certain cities in
Puyallup. Puyallup is one of them?
But it's because my friend is not from here, and she says Puyallup, and it messes me up. I was fine until that. I was fine until she
Can you help
that.
Your friend fix that,
Corey,
please?
Corey, who needs a great finish to this season in the worst way?
I think this is on Ken Norton, personally. I think he needs to get going here, and if he doesn't, his job's on the line, and it's time to move on.
Now, Corey, it's interesting you're saying that before you hang up here. I think that, you know, if people are playing devil's advocate to you, and they're like, Corey, you know, what are you talking about? They're saying, well, the defense is playing great. Corey, what would you say?
Hello?
Oh, Corey, did you hear the question?
No, sorry.
Corey. I was saying, you know, I would imagine there's someone listening saying, I don't know what Corey's talking about. The defense is playing great. They're playing out of their minds. They're not the problem. What would you say to someone who says that?
I'd say the whole team's playing awful, and yeah.
Corey was like, I'd say you're an idiot. Thanks,
All right, Corey, thanks for the candidness there. Don't really have anything to back it up. I'm just going to say everybody's playing bad.
I appreciate it.
Everybody's just playing straight bad.
Yeah, you know? There is no lie detected.
It's like the Curtis vibe check. Everything's bad.
It's all bad.
It's all bad. You know, so look, I mean, the defense has not been the problem, but I will say the defense hasn't been perfect. And that is for sure. And the issues that they have, and I swear, watching these defensive linemen drop into zone coverage on a consistent basis, Stacey, into just random grass, and they have no idea what they're doing, and you're not generating any pressure from your zone pressure packages, anything like that, is driving me up a wall watching it. But I will say that they are playing hard, and they're definitely not the major issue, but I would agree that if you're looking for serious change and different change, you could point to personnel, but I also think that from the coaching aspect of it as well, we've run into the same issue 2 years in a row. Are you really going to sign up for a third year and expect different results? That's all I'm saying.
I do not think the defense is the biggest problem. I think the defense has been playing solid. I mean, not the best ever, but pretty solid considering they were on the field for 40 minutes. I know that that's a lot more complicated, right? I know that it's not just up to the offense to get on the field or to stay on the field, but rather for the defense to get off of it. However, I think Corey has a point in pointing to the defensive coordinator, where you look at the totality of the season, and Jake, you kind of hinted at this too, you can't afford a third consecutive slow start next year, because if you look at this record, it's 3-8, it's ugly. A lot of that's on offense, particularly the last couple games. Well, what happens if the defense doesn't start out so slow and you win that Tennessee game? How about that Minnesota game? You know what I mean? You're looking at a record that's a lot closer to 500, so that matters. Just because, you know, once in a while we've got goldfish memories and we forget about older issues, it doesn't mean they didn't affect a season-long struggle or record. Good call from Corey. Going to Aaron in Seattle. Aaron, who's got the most pressure on him right now? Who needs this great finish?
Man, guys, I love the show. Thank you. I disagree with Corey. I think giving up average of 17 a game is stellar given how much time they're on the field. But I think the 12s need to finish strong. I think we've been spoiled here in Seattle the last decade. I know a lot of people will get up in arms about that, but man, we have a winning program. It's been awesome. I recognize the issues we have right now, but injuries and things have happened this year. We've had a losing season one time. Let's get it back next year. If it happens again next year, throw them all out. I get it with you, but I'm not on board with that right now.
Okay. All right. Now, Aaron, let me ask you this to follow up on that, okay? All right, fan base is spoiled. Hey, there's so much success. There's so much, you know, everything to be happy with. But then, you know, you run into some legitimate adversity, and now, hey, it's fire this guy, let go of that guy, trade Russell Wilson, all this kind of conversation. Is there legitimacy? Do you legitimately see this group staying together and being able to improve on what they've done?
I think it's tricky, right, because it's a business. There's no question, like, money's involved. It's big-time money, big-time names. So I do see the complication. I'm not saying it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm tired of the reactionary kind of, you know, the conversations, because I'm just like, guys, man, we got a great franchise here. We've got a great fan base. Like, you know, it's been a rough year. Main running back is injury prone. I'm not just saying he got injured this year. He is injury prone. Yes, our draft issues are significant. Like, I agree with all of that. I loved your comment on Bobby earlier. Like, so what if he has 100 tackles? Like, for the time on the field and the quality of the tackles, I totally agree with you on that. So I think there are things that need to be improved. But then, look, Russ is our guy. Like, he's our franchise quarterback. He's the face. He's gone through a significant injury. He's pushed it to get back. I get it, but obviously he's not playing. So I think that there are complications, but again, I still say, look, new offensive coordinator, injuries, a lot going on. Come on, let's come back next year with a vengeance and let's silence everyone. You know, like, we can do this. Like, and as the 12s, I think we got to lead that.
All right. Well, thanks, Aaron. I really appreciate the call.
Thanks,
appreciate
Aaron.
The perspective there. And you know, I do think that there is a large contingency out there that think the same way that Aaron does, that, hey, this stuff happens. You can't be perfect and expect winning football for, forever. And there's going to be down times. And that doesn't mean you get rid and fire everybody. And I understand that. I get that. And I would love to be one of those advocates as well, to tell people to be patient, to hang in there. But as of right now, I just think that there's a lot of deeper-seated dysfunction that's going on that prevents me from getting on that train and saying that this group together is on the same page and can get to the solutions together. And so that's why I think that these next six games are critical to kind of figure out where they need to go from here.
This person didn't call in, but I just saw an answer on the Mac and Jack's text line. I'll read it at the very, very end because I haven't heard this one yet, nor did I think of it. Going to Kevin in Kirkland. Kevin, who needs a great finish to this season in the worst way?
That would be Ken Norton, easily, the defense. The defense has been bad for 2 or 3 seasons, and they got better progressively throughout the season, but Ken Norman really has not developed any stars on the defense despite the resources the front office has spent on it.
Okay. All right, Kevin. So who would you point to specifically as, you know, here's a player or here's a couple players that they have not developed? So I get where you're going here.
So they've drafted a bunch of pass rushers, LJ Collier being number one, Taylor, a few others that they just haven't developed into players that you would have expected with their draft position. Then what they gave up for Jamal Adams was, boy, howdy, said earlier, I think it was yesterday, was just astronomically bad self-scouting. And so they just, between all that, Ken Norton, his job's on the line.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Kevin. Really appreciate the call there. I mean, when you talk about that aspect of being a developmental program, Stacey, you've heard me talk about this before, that part I don't necessarily think has been a strength of theirs.
No.
Drafting and then developing. And so you look at so many of these guys, and Rasheem Green has been inconsistent throughout the year. He's had some good games, but still at this point, this is his fourth season, and he has not developed. He was a third-round pick. Marquise Blair, you did not develop him into a good player that found a real prominent role, and injuries cut that short. But I still don't think you were truly maximizing his full capabilities. I mean, you could go down the list of different names, and he mentioned LJ Collier, all that.
Injuries cut Marquise Blair's career short, and I think that we haven't seen a lot of great play from him that is there. But make no mistake, before he was injured, he wasn't your starting safety. He was your nickel corner.
He was your nickel corner, and you weren't really getting much out of him. Like, you weren't getting the big plays out of him that I think we all know he's fully capable of making.
All right, going to Trevor in Mill Creek. Trevor, what's your answer?
Hello, you got me there? Got a copy?
Yep, we got
yes,
you, Trevor.
Yes, we got you.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, fantastic. It's Friday, Trevor. What about you, man?
Freedom freaking Friday, man. This is great. You know, it's good to hear everyone getting involved. And, you know, Seattle's really built an incredible fan base out here, and deservingly so. You know, we've had one of the most dominating teams in the entire NFL for the last, you know, going over a decade now. And I think everyone's getting a little, you know, spoiled or complacent, or, you know, thinking that we need to, you know, change the entire process. because we've lost a few games. Like, you know what? Chalk it up. It is so hard.
Trevor, we've lost eight. We're 3-8.
Yeah. You know what? The season's done. We all know that. You know what I mean? And so to put this blame on anybody or who needs to really, you know, have that attention or who am I hoping for that you know, I can put all this around, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be Russell Wilson because he's the leader. You know, I don't know. He's been hurt. We've been playing some of the best teams in the league, you know, and we're not one of the best teams, obviously, right now. And it's just going to be it's going to be good to see keeping this core together, giving them another shot, and seeing how they adapt to this, you know, adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like the fans, we haven't seen a losing team just that one season, but we haven't had, you know, the Seahawks have been dominating. And so it'll be good to see how the upper management, the coaches, the coordinators, you know, let's give them a fair shot at, you know, dealing with this adversity and seeing how they can, you know, adapt and make, you know, make the Seahawks, the, you know, the better team that we know that they are, you know, next season. But it's a wash right now. Everybody knows that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, thanks for the call, Trevor. We appreciate it. You know, here's the thing. I have a hard time with the spoiled fan aspect of it because, you know, I think that there is a contingency of people that look at 3-8 and say, hey, that's not good enough. That's not to the standard. And that's not being spoiled. That's just wanting and demanding more out of your team. And knowing that you what you have should result in a better record than 3-8, right? But I do understand the aspect of, hey, there's patience that needs to be involved here. And we have had a great series and great run of success for a decade. You run into your first real adversity as an organization, as a leadership structure, and I want to see how they can get through it. But their answer to get through it might be through some significant changes that you might be uncomfortable with. So I do think that that part of it is true. And, you know, going back to Trevor's, you know, as he was talking through that, the main person that he pointed to was Russell Wilson, and pointing to that he's the leader of the franchise. And, yeah, I think we're all looking for Russell Wilson to you know, play more like himself over these last final six games.
Dave's calling in from Chicago. Dave, what's your answer?
All right. Mine's a little off the beaten path, but I'm saying Jody Allen.
Dave, someone texted that in. I was going to get to them as well. You're the only two I've heard this from. Tell me why you think that.
So, you know, I got to be honest. If I'm thinking of what Trevor and Aaron said, oh, my gosh, that is the most passive crap I've heard. That is just killing this team. I really hope that Jody Allen has the right people in those closed rooms, and this is going to be one that's impossible to measure for us, right? But she's got to have the right people in those rooms telling her to, like, this is not working. This is bad. Our roster looks awful.
Yeah, I was thinking of it, too, and thanks for the call, Dave. Dave is the only other person. There have been two people to say Jody Allen, and I didn't even think of it when I was making the list of it, but they're right. She's got one of the biggest decision to make about this team moving forward because she's mm-hmm. the only one with full control over what happens.
Yes, she is. She's the owner, right? And so,
Dave. You got it, buddy.
Yeah, you cracked me up. Dave, you know, calling people out, but I think what he said is very prevalent and very real in this conversation is who is Jody Allen surrounding herself with, right? And to make these decisions, because you obviously, as an owner, you want to make this decision about whether you're going to keep everybody together, whether there's any other decision other than that. And I have to imagine that there is that group of people. Where she gets the advice and where she is really leaning on to maneuver these situations. And so I think that that part, as a collective group, the ownership group, the advisory group to Jody Allen, I think that that part of it's going to be very important. And this is going to be the first time where she is going to have to make a serious decision here. You know, in every aspect of it, this is the first time where there is some real legitimate pressure on her in the direction of where this organization should go. Whereas, you know, for this time, she has been incredibly supportive and has been amazing in giving the team what they need in terms of resources and all of that. But it hasn't had to, it hasn't have to come with, you know, overarching major ground foundational changes to the organization, and that's going to be something that's a little bit different this offseason.
Going to Kent and Spanaway, shout out to both cities, and also all people also named Kent. Kent, what is your answer?
It's Russell Wilson. And touch up on three things really quick.
Yeah.
One, I feel like I have a love-hate relationship with him as a fan because of the dynamics he brings, but the decision he makes drives me crazy. Where there's a moment where you think, do the right thing instead of running around, spinning around, get out of the pocket, make a right decision. The second part to that is the line. He's as only as good as the offensive line's going to be. So whatever's happened with that and development of that, that has to change. And whatever offensively they've come up with, in my opinion, is epic fail. That has not allowed him to succeed as a quarterback. The RPO option as a quarterback is where he needs to be. And anything else going forward, I don't understand. So that's where I pinpoint it on him, that he has to make smarter decisions. And this even pins back to me, pins back to the point of last 2 or 3 years where he's had to do everything, but he has to be smarter with the ball.
Okay.
And on his feet.
Yeah, great call, Kent. There's a lot to digest. I mean, you know, that is the aspect that I pointed to earlier in the show when it comes down to when we talked about this very same discussion, Stacey, with Russell Wilson, is that there is no doubt that he can help himself out in this situation. Being more accurate. If the game is not going well, guess what? Just let the game come. It will happen. Let things happen in front of you. Continue to stay through your reads. Stay disciplined through that. And don't try to add the extra pressure onto you and force things to happen. It doesn't need to be that way, right? And that is not ultimately where I believe Russell Wilson is at his best. It is when he's in the rhythm. And then once he's in the rhythm and feeling the game, that's when you see the magic happen. That's when you see him create and big things come alive, right? It's not through him trying to press and force the issue. And then the other part that Kent points out is the supporting cast around him with the offensive line playing as brutal as it is. It doesn't help the situation in terms of him getting comfortable, lack of a running game, you know, offensive strategy and philosophy. All those things do matter in terms of, and that is a full picture of how to get Russell Wilson to play better in these next 6 games. And ultimately, for Kent, for me, for you, Stacey, for everybody, in these next 6 games, you want to be able to feel and see Russell Wilson come alive and play better, and that will certainly make people feel a little bit better as they head into this crazy offseason.
All right, a couple of people I didn't get to, Garrett, Bruce, Damian. You know, I say this every single time we have calls when we're up against the clock and have to go, but I mean it every single time. I didn't have time to get to you three, but I sincerely appreciate you guys calling in, listening. Seriously, shout out to you three, and shout out to everyone who called in, you guys. Great conversations today. Unfortunately, I have to cut it short because we are jumping into our weekly game show, Curtis and Jake. Facing off, Curtis, looking for a chance to redeem himself. This is rare, new territory for you. We'll see if you can do it. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Niners, 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 Niners.
There's gold in them hills.
Classic. A classic intro for that one. It is our weekly trivia game show, Curtis and Jake facing off against each other. It is a rare opportunity where both of you get to play this game 2 times in 1 week. Now, remind me who won Monday?
We don't need to get into specifics.
I did.
Question number one.
This feeds into a conspiracy, Stacey.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jake.
You were not here.
Yeah.
And there's conspiracy that you really help out Curtis Rogers.
I write the quiz every week. It's not my fault that Curtis uses an absurd amount of brain power to know trivia things. You and I both have to admit that Curtis knows a lot of random trivia.
I'm saying is that maybe the playing field was evened a little bit with Mike Lefko leading
the
charge.
Says the guy who was trailing in the season standings.
Woo!
Needs all the help he can get.
Jake?
He's all choked up right now.
Jake, since you won this week, but last time, you get to pick who goes first.
Mm. I'm going to go first.
Wow, that was a mistake. Here's your first question. Rookie Elijah Mitchell is leading the 49ers in rushing yards, which is a pleasant surprise for San Francisco since he was a late round draft pick out of which school?
Oh, shoot.
Boy.
This is my hardest question.
Yeah.
I love this game. I love it.
Okay. I'm going to take a stab here.
I've already got my finger on the wrong buzzer.
LSU?
No, but it's the University of Louisiana at Lafayette.
Oh my God, Jake, that's actually really impressive. I was so close. I knew it was somewhere in the South. Don't ask me how I knew that.
I'm actually really proud of you.
Dang it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I had Louisiana.
Question number two. All right, Curtis.
Here we go.
Jake's probably going to know the answer to this one. So when you're the number six overall defense, like the 49ers, you're pretty good against both the run and the pass, but there is one phase of the offense where the 49ers defense is outperforming its competition. Is it against the run or the pass?
I'm going to say it is against the...
Jake's twitching.
It's against the run game.
That is incorrect.
Well done.
They are number six overall against the pass, allowing just 207 yards per game. They are allowing over 100 rushing yards, which isn't bad. They're 14th, middle of the road, 111 there.
Mm-hmm. Well, their rushing defense is going to get a little bit better after this week.
Curtis, no! Oh, sorry. 36-year-old Adrian Peterson is going to rush for over 100 yards, Curtis.
I was answering that question as though we were playing next week.
Ah!
My bad.
I see, against the Texans. Yeah. Yes.
Here we go. I've started making these quizzes harder, I think. Well, as Russell Wilson would say, you're 0-0, 0-0.
That's fine. A little adversity doesn't faze us.
Nick Bosa has 11 sacks.
Stacey, hold on. You'd actually be really disappointed in us. I think Curtis and I got the first three rounds wrong.
We got the first two rounds wrong last week. I work really hard on these.
I know. Yeah, okay? They were hard.
You're letting me down.
Should be thankful that we were missing them like crazy. That means it was a great quiz.
Here we go. Nick Bosa has 11 sacks for the 49ers this season, Jake. He was also a second overall pick in 2019. Who was drafted before and after him?
Ooh.
Draft sandwich. Before was too easy.
What kind of condiments do you put on a draft sandwich?
Ketchup
and mustard.
It's a great
question.
Ketchup on a sandwich?
No, that's disgusting. Yeah. Mustard for sure, but you go Dijon. Or you go, Dijon mustard, I think.
Good old 2019.
Honey mustard with some turkey. Gouda.
Who's the 2019 first overall pick? Is that Kyler Murray?
Yes.
Okay, Kyler Murray's number one.
Number three.
Nick Bosa, and then, man, I have no idea.
You're gonna kick yourself once.
Am I?
I think I know why you have no idea, but you're gonna be mad at yourself.
Okay. Should I give him a buzzer?
Yeah. You want to tell him who it is? Do you know?
It is
Quinnen Williams was selected by the New York Jets, number three.
Wow, that's
overall.
Why would I be kicking myself?
That's a tough one.
Because that was one of those ones I remember. Wasn't it like an almost viral moment? Because he was like so happy and had an adorable.
Sure, but that was also I think that was a reach, wasn't it? Or no, that was pick number four. I think Cleveland Farrell was. After him.
Curtis, a chance to get
the first point of this game. This is multiple choice. You're in luck.
Here we go.
Which of the following Seahawks running backs holds the franchise record for rushing yards in a game against the 49ers? Marshawn Lynch, Chris Carson, or Thomas Rawls?
I believe it's Thomas Rawls.
It is Thomas Rawls, who has the single best performance by any Seahawk against the 49ers in any 49ers game with 209 yards. 1 point for Curtis. Good job, Curtis.
Thank you. 1-0.
Good
back
job,
to back
Curtis.
Here,
stop
you guys.
The count.
You guys are going to have very similar questions. You go first. Many former Seahawks have become 49ers. Name three of them.
Will Tukuafu. Okay. Count it. I know you didn't have that on there.
What do you know? what you did to Jake.
Oh, my gosh.
You need two
Mike
more
Cupati.
Seahawks who became 49ers.
Mike Cupati. And Wait. You need three Seahawks total. That became 49ers Seahawks. Or 49ers so that became...
So they had to be Seahawks first and then 49ers later on in their career?
Yeah, did you want to do it backwards?
Oh.
You
want to
flip that?
Oh. Okay.
Should we flip that for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That didn't... So then Will Tukuafu would not have been an answer.
Okay.
Sorry. Neither would have Mike Iupati.
No, that's correct. And neither one of those would have been an answer.
Is my question named 49ers and become Seahawks?
Yeah,
because I've got two answers fresh on the mind.
Well, now we're gonna switch them. Thanks for Jake. Oh, name one more 49er who became a Seahawk.
Okay.
This is very easy, Jake.
Jerry Rice.
There we go.
That's your choice?
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Not any number of more recent choices.
I mean, Jake got it right.
I know. It's just a weird. Okay.
Who do you have?
Because you're mad. I was thinking DJ Reed. A very recent.
So you want
example.
Me to now pick Seahawks who
your
became
choice.
49ers?
Now, because of Jake, the question for you is name three Seahawks who became 49ers.
All right. Cassius Marsh.
Yes.
Richard Sherman.
Yes.
And let's go with. Back in the day, let's go with Trent Dilfer.
Okay. Well, you guys went with some classics for some of these.
Nice pick.
So, Curtis.
Nice grab with the Trent Dilfer. That was great stuff.
Jake, you've got to get this right to tie it up, though, because Curtis took a 2-1 lead with that answer.
Okay.
The Seahawks record at home this year hasn't been great, but their series record against the 49ers at home is. Here's the multiple choice. What is their series record against the 49ers in Seattle? 15-8, 14-9, or 13-10?
13-10, 14.
15-8, 14-9, or 13-10?
I'm going to go with A.
15-8?
Yes.
Correct.
All right. Yes.
All right.
This
Curtis.
This is for the win.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be for the win.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, right. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong number.
who's running this quiz here, Jake?
Is it us or is it
Stacy?
I have no idea.
For the win.
Stacy's on a lot of cold medicine.
Curtis, for the win, DK Metcalf needs 223 yards this season to pass which former Seahawks receiver for the most yards in a player's first three seasons in Seattle history?
In Seattle history? So they could have played any number of seasons elsewhere, but their first three seasons... They racked up yards here in Seattle. Boy, I am going to say...
Now, I know you want to say Jimmy Graham, but he is a tight end.
No, I know. Is the correct answer... Is it Joey Galloway?
I wanted it to get to a tiebreaker! No, okay, can I do the tiebreaker anyway?
Sure.
Curtis wins. Congratulations, Curtis.
Sure. Thank you.
Final minute. Now, I want to do the tiebreaker because it's my favorite type of tiebreaker because it gives Jake so much anxiety. I guarantee you, I bet money right now that Jake will not do this right. He gets so nervous. Here's how it works. We have two different types of tiebreakers. One is you guys go back and forth and give answers. The other one is a buzz-in where you buzz in with your name. And it just, without fail, Jake is going to get nervous. He's going to buzz in and say Curtis or buzz in and say Buzz or something weird. But... You buzz in with your name when I am done asking the question. Then I will call on you when you get to say your answer, okay? You buzz in with your name. You wait until you're done with the question. The last word of the question is with. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
What?
You buzz in with your name if you know the answer to this question, but wait until I'm done asking. Okay? Here we go. The 49ers traded up to number 3 to take Trey Lance in the 2021 NFL Draft. Which team did they swap with?
Curtis.
Yes.
The Miami Dolphins.
Just frozen.
I'm sorry.
Why do you do this?
Curtis gave himself the sound. You guys.
Of course I'm giving myself the sound.
I love Fridays. I love them.
I do too.
They're the best. They're so much fun. Now, Curtis.
Sometimes I love Fridays.
Here's what I'll say. Because Jake did win on Monday, you've only tied up the series.
No, I have a two-game lead. I'm up 7-5.
Oh, no. Oh, Jake, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Jake could have tied the series.
You know what? We actually got it wrong with the callers in terms of who needs the final six games, who needs to step up. It's me. I've got to step up in these final six games. Gosh.
All right. What I need to know is coming your way next, and I need your questions. Please send those in to the Mac and Jacks text line. Any question you have, 206-421-3776. Send those in now. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy.
Wow,
Lost.
What a great trivia game that you guys just did. Stacy, good questions. Thank you so much, Dexter. That's really...
I don't see that text anywhere.
So many people are texting, and that one kind of flooded down pretty quickly, but that one was on there for sure. It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in, 206-421-3776. That is the Mac and Jack's text line. We'll start here. What I Need to Know, not counting current quarterbacks. I'm going to include Trey Lance, too. So Jimmy G, Trey Lance, Russell Wilson. Not counting those three. Who are your favorite Seahawk and 49er quarterbacks of all time? Average person's got to say Montana.
Nope.
And no?
For me, it's Steve Young.
Okay. Steve Young,
Steve
Joe
Young
Montana,
was
and on the other side of
house. My favorite quarterback growing up. Loved his game. Loved the way he played. Growing up, for me, it was Steve Young, Brett Favre, and then it kind of transitioned into like Peyton Manning, Drew Brees. That's kind of how it evolved for me as I grew up watching the game. But those were my favorite quarterbacks growing up. So Steve Young for sure.
Well, for sticking with quarterbacks in the Seahawks 49ers rivalry,
yeah.
When he first broke onto the scene, Colin Kaepernick's legs put the fear of God into everyone.
That was the last time this rivalry
That's
was
true.
Really
when,
fun.
Like when the 2012-2013 era, when he took off with the football,
yeah,
it was like, holy cow, you better tackle him at the first level or else he's going to get 40, 50 yards. I think he ran for over 100 yards in that NFC Championship game, or he came close to.
That's a good answer.
He was really good. And then his production slipped and... We know the rest of his story, but man, when he first broke onto the scene, it was like, yikes. I don't like the fact that the 49ers have a young quarterback that is taking them to a Super Bowl, but it was a flash in the pan.
What I need to know, the over-under is set to 45 points for this Sunday, with Seattle struggling to score, and who knows what will score for the 49ers. It seems like the under is a good bet. What do you think? From Fred in Birch Bay. Now, I think that I completely get the under, and if I were actually a gambling man, that's probably what I would do. But the 49ers have scored 30 in each of their last three, and I actually don't think that over under 45 is too wild. I think that's totally possible.
Yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I would definitely take it. I mean, if I were, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would do it definitely.
What I need to know, is there a movie that you would love to share with a young one in your life when they get to a certain age? For example, when my daughter was old enough to watch Star Wars with me.
Ooh, that's a great question. So, like, what was the... Are they asking what was their the first thing
so, like,
that you shared?
So, like, what's a movie that you can't wait to watch with... Willa's still really young.
But, like, maybe when they're old enough to understand to movies that have, like, a deeper meaning.
Yeah. Mm. Not kids' movies. Like, and it could be something that's a family movie, like, you know, Back to the Future. I haven't seen it, but like that's a movie a lot of people like.
I mean,
Mike Salk talks about it all the time. It's annoying.
Yeah. honestly, when it was the holidays with kids are the best, because that's when it's like seriously the most magical, and it is just everything that they're experiencing. It's incredible. So what I enjoy more than anything else is being able to watch Christmas shows with my kids. Watching Christmas movies and all of that this time of year, like literally every single day, every night before we go to bed or whatever, like we're gonna turn on a Christmas show and we are gonna watch a Christmas movie. Like that is the way that we roll in the Heaps house, and it's so much fun. I love the holiday season during this time, getting to share and watch all those movies and enjoy the holidays, watching Elf, watching Santa Claus, watching Klaus, watching Christmas Chronicles. I mean, you name it. Oh, by the way, if you have not seen the new Home Alone on Disney Plus,
is it good?
Go watch it. It's actually really funny, and I have to admit, I was crying at one point. I was laughing
wow.
so hard.
I have two yeah. quick questions, so let good. Me get both of these, but I'll ask them separately. 206, Jake, why do receivers always point backwards when they line up? I don't know, that's what this person wants
oh,
to know.
Oh, because what they're doing is they either point at the ref or they point behind them. So really what they're signaling to the ref is they're trying to say, hey, am I on the line of scrimmage or am I off the line of scrimmage? And so based off of where they line up, the referee is supposed to signal to them and let them know, hey, yes, you are on the line of scrimmage, or yes, you're good to go, you're off the line of scrimmage, so that you make sure that you have the appropriate number that are on the line of scrimmage.
All right. Someone asked us our go-to cold medicine. I'm going to stick with this one, though. Who do you love in the state finals for football? Chris and Needham Call gives you a couple options, but who were you personally excited to see?
Royal Knights. Royal Knights, 1A football. Let's go, baby.
All right.
Nighttime.
All right, you guys.
Whoever's playing Bellevue, go ahead. You could take those guys down.
Wow.
Take
them out of here. I'm going to tell Taylor Jacobs. He will not
so
like that.
Offended
he
here.
Will not like that.
Paul Moyer, Taylor Jacobs, I don't care. You can come at me. But
I haven't heard anything about Tyee.
I don't think they've seen.
Do they have a team still?
I don't
think they've seen the playoffs in a while. So,
Leave my school alone.
Well, you brought them up. Yeah. You're the one that
all
brought
right,
them up.
You can help out their booster program.
Yeah, come on, Stacy.
This week.
I'd love
the only one.
Wouldn't that be hilarious if Stacy goes in there and she's the big booster?
She's the Phil Knight of Tyee football.
No, but I become like, who's who's Buddy Garrity? I go in there being like, well, listen, you know, you'd hate to see this happen.
Stacy's the Jerry Jones of Tyee High School football.
Let's go. All right, that'll do it for us this week. For Jake Heaps, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacy Ross. Excited to talk to you guys about this one on Monday, but don't go anywhere because Wyman and Bob are coming your way next on 710 ESPN Seattle.